When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Most Things Kenobi, an elegant podcast for a more civilized fandom.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Most Things Kenobi, a podcast about Obi-Wan Kenobi and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Leanne.
And your co-host, Clarence.
Right, if you can right hear him, he's right next to the mic.
And I'm your host, Laura.
And this week, man, oh man, this is part two of the three-part arc we're doing that focuses on Ventress. And this episode is the second in the arc titled Monster. And right from the jump, I forgot that this episode exemplifies why this is not a kid's show. I have not seen this episode in a long time.
Me either. And I remember why now after watching it.
It's really bad.
It is. It's gruesome. And like, who's the monster at the end?
Well, that's why when I said the title of this episode, who is the monster? I think they imply it's Savage Opress, but after everything that goes on, he is the least monstrous thing.
I know. I feel like everyone is a monster in some way in this, and he is the most innocent of all of it, even though he does horrible stuff.
He's the product of all these monsters coming together. And yeah. I just... First of all, like I said, I hadn't seen this episode in a long time. So when they first introduce Savage, he's with the other, what are they called? Dathomirians? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with the spikes in their heads. And I was like, I thought I could have sworn Savage was more buff than this.
Right.
And then I completely forgot that they transform him and turn him into a ripped bodybuilder. I forgot about that part.
Are they Zabrax? I don't remember.
Is that what it is?
I don't know, because Maul is Zabrak, but then they're living on Dathomir, and they're Knight Brothers, so I don't know what the hell they are.
Yeah, that's the spiky-headed.
Yeah.
A version of the spiky heads.
But you're right. They, like, magic him into Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then that's his special gift for the rest of his life.
Yeah. But I forgot, like, how normal, like thin, and his face wasn't as broad when they first meet him and the other ones come out.
Yeah.
And
they even make his horns grow longer.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, one gets broken off anyway, eventually. So what good did that do? Just to make him more, I don't know, sinister looking? I don't.
Yeah.
I feel bad for so many of those. Oh, it's just a terrible episode. It's a good episode, but it's terrifying.
I remember it's standing out to me a lot the first time I saw it, because there was like the night sky and a comet went by, and it was particularly beautiful and odd, and it was done in the dark, which is obviously very difficult to do in animation. But it's so hard to watch. It's essentially Star Wars Hunger Games.
Yes.
And it's really awful. And the way... The whole time, and this is something I really had forgotten, the way the Night Sisters talk about these males is so disrespectful and gross.
Yeah, right?
In the way that women often talk about misogyny, it's the reverse. And it's not like taking power back. It's icky. It's really icky to watch it, and I don't like it.
Yeah, and nobody wants to be referred to or talked to in this way. I don't care if it's men doing it to women, women doing it to men.
Yeah.
You know, male identifying individuals doing it to, you know, it's just like, right. It's not okay, period. And it's icky, just like you said, watching it as an animation.
Yeah. It makes me really dislike the Night Sisters, despite their they're so powerful. And they're supposed to be this quote-unquote strong female character, you know, that we used to hear all the time, especially referring to, like, Buffy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that takes me back.
So, like, fine. But then to have... give female characters agency and power and have them be so brutal and disrespectful and sexist, it's really disappointing to rewatch it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can digest this a little easier if I view the Night Sisters, all that goes on, as like a cult version, a more specific, smaller cult version of the Empire itself, of what the Empire ends up becoming.
Interesting.
Like, you can have small factions of individuals using their power, abusing their power, and just becoming, just acting in ways that are unnecessary in order to wield that power. And I think that we see a real display of abuse of power in this, because do they have to? I mean, that's what makes them this version of a witch, which we talked about last week, is not our version of a witch. We, like, you know, we're a little turned off by the evil witch persona. But
right,
in this case, they're using all of this power for all of this personal gain. And it's deceitful, it's duplicitous, and it just reminds me of what the Empire eventually becomes when it rises. Just so, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's all women or all men or it's Palpatine and his little minions. It's all the same.
It is. I wrote this down too, because Mother Talzin says when they decide to send Ventress off to the Night Brothers and they're going to select a mate, Talzin says, quote, "We will use our magics to manipulate his," meaning Dooku's, "assassin." And they are, that to me, they're no different than Sidious.
Yeah. Yeah, Talzin is just another version of what they all symbolize.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing, because we want those strong, empowered women characters, but we get them with Leia, and we get them with Rey, and we get them with Ahsoka and Hera, etc. And, you know, but we could have had a witch. But we didn't. Not in this version.
Something that I learned researching for the last episode that we kind of like teased at the end of last episode was that Talzin is the biological mother of Darth Maul and Savage Opress. And Sidious came to Dathomir before the Clone Wars, before Phantom Menace. And he came to Dathomir to learn from Mother Talzin, and she was going to learn from him. And they would exchange their learnings of how to use the dark side. And he said he was going to make her his apprentice. And instead, she stole his son, Maul. So Maul was just kidnapped, basically, by Sidious. And Talzin held a grudge for the rest of time, basically, against Sidious and the dark side users and anyone who associated with Sidious. So by default, then Dooku, eventually.
A mother scorned.
Yes. However,
to the nth degree.
Savage is her son.
Yeah.
And she has no problem disassociating from him, talking about him like he's a piece of meat, and sending him off to be manipulated, used. So this, it's like cherry picking when she has motherly feelings, or I think it's really nothing to do with her children and has to do more with she was slighted, she was disrespected.
For sure. But and she views her children as possessions, not entities with free will. Ugh.
It's grimy. It's interesting, but gross.
And this is not a kid's show. Yeah, because holy shit. Yeah. Oh, I can understand from like, oh God, even Ventress is over the top. But I can understand from maybe Ventress's point of view, because she's got the most recent grudge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my. She beats their asses without, I mean, which I love to see. Just kick them. Just go, Ventress, go. But at the same time, oh my God, stop.
It's a bit drastic.
It's almost like they're expendable like clones.
Yeah.
The Jedi definitely treat clones with more respect than this group treats this entity of men. Mm-hmm. I think even though they have so many clones that they're just expendable and they have to leave them where they lie, you know,
mm-hmm.
which I always had a problem with, but like fallen soldiers, right? You gotta right. keep going. But these were just discarded in the Hunger Game. I just love how Star Wars in Clone Wars, they just have fields of these sort of obstacle courses that they just use. Where do they get so them? Convenient. Like they had them for the, I don't know what's the Kenobi. Oh my brain's shot. For the
box?
When he turns into what's his name and pisses Anakin off.
Oh, Rako Hardeen. Yeah.
Yeah. They had a game show.
Yeah.
Yeah. A box for. They had the Squid Games. They just pop up whenever necessary in Star Wars. Like, what the fuck?
It's true. And actually, this arena kind of reminded me of the Mortis arena, but in reverse. Oh, like, reverse color scheme.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I could see that. Make sense if, like, all. Mother Talzin left Mortis and brought all her weird shit to Dathomir and set up shop.
She did the old one finger to the forehead, knocked him right out.
Which the father does.
Yes. And I noticed it more this time because you and I talked about how, like, if that's her sleeping pill, I want in. Remember from last episode?
Seriously. Just poke me still down.
Please sign me up for this. But I just realized how much her finger, I know it's the animation style, but, like, with the nail and everything was so, like, the father.
Mm, yeah, it is.
I think there's something there to that theory. I really do.
And if not, they're really, it's a red herring. Because it's so, there's so much there that could be that it almost feels like they're doing it on purpose if you're paying attention. There was a lot to this that was like an evil version of Mortis.
I don't know. I just forgot how much violence there was in it.
Me too. And I had totally forgotten that the people who are the brothers who are unsuccessful were killed.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like
sliced and diced.
Yeah. Like, holy fucking shit, guys. Like, no respect for life whatsoever. And it's even more heartbreaking that Savage sacrifices himself for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
That adds a whole layer. And okay, so as I was rewatching, I was like, he's controllable because he has an attachment to his brother, right? So mm-hmm. and then he converts to, like, sacrifices himself to Ventress to protect his brother out of hatred, not out of loyalty. So that's a weak bond to begin with.
It is. Yeah, totally.
And then they have him kill his own brother at the end, thus removing the only piece of control they had over him. I know they were trying to prove that there was, like, nothing left inside him anymore.
So terrible. God.
It is terrible. But then as, like, the show evolves and Savage's plot evolves, he doesn't give a shit about Ventress. He very rarely will actually do what she tells him.
Yeah, he ends up bonding with Maul more.
Yeah.
Because Maul, whether it's genuine or not, respects him and treats him like a brother, maybe like a kid brother, where...
Yes.
Maul still knows he's, like, the most powerful one, and don't get it twisted.
Right.
And then we know what ends up happening to Savage, and it's so sad.
Yeah. His whole arc is absolutely heartbreaking.
He's just another pawn in this big, giant game where nobody really wins other than, like, the main puppeteers at the top.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. God, Star Wars is pain.
It makes me wonder, like, I very genuinely wonder if when it was written, they thought it was cool, or if they were aware how gross their themes were.
I think it was done to show just how different they are comparatively to what the Jedi are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the only way I can, like, reason the excessiveness in this episode.
I found myself constantly trying to be like, well, it's just another culture, Lauren. You just don't live in that culture. You don't understand that culture. Like, who's maybe culture? That's how they do it on Dathomir. Like, all the way the witches are treating the brothers. And I just kept thinking, like, how do you be that archaeologist or whatever, the anthropologist, was just like observing without judgment. It was very difficult because it's so ruthless.
I wonder if they had to because of how crazy Maul was. So maybe they were trying to set the stage for more of his type. And so they had to make him like, I don't know. I'm kind of reaching here, but
yeah,
there had to have been a reason because I don't feel like that team did anything without some reason.
Right, right. It was never just a throwaway.
Yeah. So I got to believe it was symbolic somewhere. Hard to see it when you're watching their arms and limbs and entire bodies just get sliced and tossed away yeah. like they're nothing. Like, oof. Yeah.
Well, like the very first thing Ventress does when she gets there is choke out some guy and then tell someone else they're too skinny and someone else they're too weak.
Yeah.
It's terrible messaging. It's just so sad.
I mean, if you think about the modeling industry, that's what men do to women all the time. And other women. I shouldn't
say
exclusive. The women can be just as venomous as the men in the fashion industry. So to me, that was the violent version of that
Project
show.
Project Runway.
Yeah, that's it. It was like Runway something. I'm sorry. Your pleats really are too obvious. You have to go.
With an axe. Like,
you're weak. We have to kill you. It's just terrible. Anyway, God.
It's so true. I did kind of think it was cool, which, of course, I knew this, but, like, I don't know. It hit differently now after seeing the Ahsoka show that Mother Talzin provides Savage with an enchanted blade, which, again, there's an enchanted blade in Mortis.
In the Mortis, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
she either had a crush on the dad, the father, and said, you know what? I'm going to style all my business just like his. Or she was a part of that, and she said, I'm out. But I'm going to take a few things with me when I go. There's got to be something there.
It just seems terribly obvious, but I guess you could argue it's just a force thing, but...
Could be. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Rey ends up having a blade in the sequel trilogy, a small. Remember that thing that she had and it had the writings on it and he lined it up?
Always thought that should have been the Mortis blade.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a great, great connection. Oh, my God. Now I'm pissed. That would have been so good. Oh, my God.
Right? Even I remember just the trailers. I was like, oh, my God, that could be the Mortis blade. And then, of course, it wasn't. So
missed opportunity number 672.
Right. Shit. Disney, come on. You have our number. Let's talk.
Let's talk. For real.
We will fill your plot holes and make your stories a little bit better.
That's all.
That's just all. Teeny little things like that.
Tiny
That's
things.
All it would take.
So you put it in anyway. Make it have more meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway. Damn.
Yeah. They take... Well, I guess they don't take Maul. Well, yes, they do. They take Maul to see Dooku. And then Dooku tests
Wait, Maul?
Him.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get
Savage.
No. Savage, sorry.
Well, what's crazy is that if you say Asajj and Savage too close together.
That's true.
That too. And then Maul and Savage are two peas in a pod. So, yeah there's a lot of confusing shit in this corner of the galaxy.
Yeah, my brain is just mushing it all together and into one person. Anyway, what I meant was Savage. They take Savage to Dooku and he tests him. And that's where we see Devron, which we talked about in
the episode. Yes.
What was it? A couple episodes ago. The book, when we were doing another story review from a certain point of view, they talk about Devron, the Jedi Temple, and the Jedi Master.
Devron was the chef, the head chef of Bespin.
Yes.
Was Devronian.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she made reference to a Jedi temple and a holiday or something like that. And then also how the temple got destroyed. And we see the Savage shows up and just kills the Jedi Master and the Padawan in like 10 seconds. It's nothing.
Oh, it's he flings the little Padawan.
Yeah, they didn't even show it.
And just, like, crumples.
Yeah. It's too awful because not a kid show.
Holy cow.
That was crazy. We don't really see Ventress kill any Jedi, do we?
Kill Jedi?
I know we see her kill clones, and she's always going after Anakin.
Yeah, well, so am I. Not in the same way, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I don't think she's killed a Jedi. That's interesting, though, if you think about it. Maybe there's a reason there. She's rocking the hood, though.
She is, and a mask, which now just makes me think of COVID, but I know that that's not what it was intended for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. She, I think she's better without the hood.
I do, too. I her nose has a wrinkle in it, to me, that is just reminiscent of my dog's, which I don't mean to, like, compare her to a dog, but it gave me a sentimental feeling, which I know is not the right feeling. That was my own projecting onto the character.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, I don't know. I like Ventress without it. She's so, like, striking. But I guess, she like, is. What was the point of it? Because it's not like she was hiding her identity.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know. Masks and hoods are to build mystery. I don't know.
Yeah. Just to be intrigue. Badass, I guess.
I guess so. It's the hood that never moves, though. And I would like one in a windstorm.
Yeah. Yeah. There was something I was curious about, which I don't have an exact answer for this, but last week we talked about the caryatids, the statues that we were, like, holding up. I noticed also above that is a giant, like, head with the mouth open.
Yeah.
Which is, I want to learn more. I haven't really had time to research it in too much depth. Like, what does that symbolize when a statue's mouth is, like, hanging open like that? And what I saw really quickly is that it's, like, a portal.
Oh. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Which kind of makes sense, because then they show Dooku enter the Night Sister's temple from above through that statue's mouth. Like, it looks like they're walking into the mouth. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of interesting. Again, I didn't research it in too much depth, so if anyone out there knows what that is a reference to, if it's based on anything specific, I'd be really interested to hear. I tried to research it really quick. I'm sure that this has got to be, like, a reference to something that I just didn't have time to research enough. But, yeah, if anyone knows, I would really be interested to learn more about that.
I would love to know. Do you know anything about why these Dathomirians are yellow versus why Maul is red?
I don't know, and people have said that, like, Maul's color, like, the black is actually tattooing. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not really sure.
It says here gold, because Savage is gold, in my opinion. He's a hue of gold, not bright yellow. And according to this, it says gold is associated with male energy and the power of the sun, S-U-N. But could be S-O-N, compared with silver, which is related to female energy in the moon. Gold adds richness and warmth to everything it comes in contact with. Yeah, totally him. It's optimistic and positive. It's the color of wealth and high status, success, achievement, and triumph. So maybe it was a Some of sick that twist works. On it.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost ironic. That
it's corruption.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes.
I thought it was interesting how they basically turn him into an animal at the end.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way.
He has, like, a snarling, like, animal sounds even coming out of him.
Yeah.
Which is very
Keep in mind, folks, that Obi-Wan fought off him and Maul with just himself and two lightsabers. How badass is that? That is hot.
It's really hot. It's really hot.
I mean,
he actually he cuts off Savage's arm in that duel, and there is this shot that is, I'll never forget it. I didn't see it the first time I watched it, but there's a moment he swoops under, cuts off Savage's arm, and, like, they show his feet land, and Savage's arm lands between his feet. So dramatic and gross. It's
very awful.
It's really icky. He's always dismembering the Maul family. People,
yeah. Well, I was including Anakin in that, so oops. Oh, yeah. Oopsie. He does That's go true. For the limbs.
He does. He cuts off a lot of limbs.
Well, he tries to stop them from coming on without killing them. Yeah. That's his style.
Just dismembering them.
Yeah, dismember. Oh, God. But it stands to prove when you see a scene like Savage going to that Jedi temple and knocking out one Jedi and his or her Padawan just like that, plus a bunch of guards and droids and all this stuff. One, and then yeah. Kenobi does just handles him and Maul at the same time. Oh, God. Ooh. Powerful, powerful dude. He doesn't get enough credit.
It's hot.
Yeah.
That's why it's my favorite scene ever.
We love him here, if you don't know.
Just in case.
just a twinge.
I don't think I have anything else. I just wrote that the story is fucking awful. That's all.
Yeah, it's a pretty violent tale. No good comes from it on either front. Savage's story is just as sad as Asajj Ventress. Savage Opress, Asajj Ventress. their stories are just sad. Maybe that is the overarching theme here. People doing wrong to other people having wrong done to them.
Yeah, they say that pain has like a ripple effect.
Oh, it does. It does for sure in this.
So if you're a wounded person, you'll just perpetuate that on other people until you learn some sort of compassion, which she does sort of eventually, but even after, because she has her transformation while Savage and Maul are running all over the galaxy still. So that's when she gets the bounty to go and kill Savage. Mm-hmm. She still wants him dead, even after everything. And it's like, she's the one who ruined his life and turned him into this monster.
You started this, Ventress. Well, then maybe she should have been the one to end it. Oh, well.
She was not, though. It was Sidious, wasn't it? Sidious is the one who killed Savage. Oh, yeah. Savage. Well,
I don't even think we... Do we see it?
Yes, we do see it. We do, because he dies and then kind of, like, shrinks a little bit, like, back into his normal self. And he says to Maul that...
Yeah, Maul's there. That's what I remember.
Yeah. He says something like, oh, it's so heartbreaking. I can't remember, but...
Brother, I am an unworthy apprentice. I'm not like you. I never was. That is so sad. Oh, my God.
I hate it. It makes my skin hurt. just all of this is so brutal and heartless. And I think we sometimes forget that about Ventress because we're always like, oh, Ventress is such a badass and she has this great evolution. And it's like there's this really gross part in the middle where I don't like this. This doesn't sit well with me, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says here he's a Dathomirian Zabrak Night Brother, so he's all three.
Oh, okay.
To go back to what we were saying earlier, is he Dathomirian? Is he Zabrak? He's all in that and then some.
It's the full package deal.
I feel bad for him. I do.
I do too. He deserved better. Just like so many people in Star Wars.
Yeah, really. And their path, chosen, unchosen, I don't know. It's just... I don't think when these characters go into it, they can foresee the end that awaits them because it's so beyond what they're led to believe in the beginning that they'd never, ever... I mean, from people like Talzin and Maul and then the father in Mortis and then, you know, because I'm pretty sure the son never thought the father would, you know, all this business. And then, of course, Sidious. Nobody really knows how awful it is. At the end of whatever they have set up for them.
What's what we've said before sometimes, like if you knew the end, you'd never start.
Yeah, it's true. So next week we will wrap up this 3-episode arc discussion with the final episode of this arc titled The Witches of the Mist. And it's going to have it all. Just like these other two have.
So, I hope it's less depressing.
Less depressing? Yeah. Except, you know, Star Wars is pain, so come prepared.
Right. So last week, we obviously were talking about part one of this arc, the episode called Night Sisters, and we spent a few minutes chatting about Dooku's pajamas, which was hilarious. And then our friend Ben sent us... it's It's so funny. Is it? What was the game? I can't remember now.
It was Battlefront.
Yeah.
It was one of the skins that you could change.
One of the skins is Dooku's exquisite pajamas. That's actually what they're called.
Yes, they were exquisite. And I'm glad that they're in Battlefront. And Ben, thanks for sharing that skin with us. Because
it literally made my day. It was so good.
It was magnificent. Yes.
Exquisite.
And thank you so much, everyone, for joining us here on the Most Things Kenobi podcast. We appreciate every single one of our patrons, and we've gotten some new ones. And thank you. Thank you for your support. If you would like to support the podcast and become a patron as well, head over to the Most Things Kenobi Patreon. As always, you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you enjoy our podcast, feel free to rate us on Spotify and Apple. And if you need just one place to find all of these, head over to mostthingskenobi.com.
So until next time, my space twin, may the force be with you.
Always.